Welcome to Inside the Huddle. Kyle Etherington here with Don Stock. And we've got a lot of exciting things to get to. But first, I'm going to turn it over to Don. Don, I wore your favorite baseball jersey this morning with the N and the Y. How does that make you feel?
Did they win last night?
They did win last night, yes,
so
sir.
They're up 3-1.
Up 3-1.
Yep. So I always felt like when I was watching the Dodgers and the Mets play that it was going to be a New York series, but it looks like you'll be heading to the West Coast to take on the Dodgers, which will be a good series. Dodgers are playing well right now. Yankees playing well. I'll be watching it only just to be watching it, not really caring. Well, I probably would rather see the Yankees win because Rizzo plays for the Yankees.
Absolutely.
And I'm a big Rizzo fan. So, and I maybe dislike the Dodgers more than I dislike the Yankees. So,
well, as a Yankee fan, I got to be completely honest. I love a good Nathan's hot dog, but when I got to go to L.A. to Dodger Stadium, and I had a few Dodger dogs, I'm not going to lie. And honestly, I think I like the Dodger dogs better. But we're talking football today because we're wrapping up the regular season. State playoffs start this coming week. Don, how did the scores in the area shake out last night?
Hey, let's go down to the county schools last night as Clinton Central Coach Finley takes the Bulldogs over the Tri-Central, gets beat 35-13. The Prairie Gophers, they go to Eastern last night. They get beat 49-15. The Cougars last night take it to Sheridan 28-0. Frontier 48, South Newton 7, West Lafayette 21, Hamilton Heights 7. Twin Lakes beats Western 42-6, Lebanon all over Western Boone 26-7. Crawfordsville and Frankfort's probably last Sagamore Conference game, and maybe thankfully so, 54-8 they get beat. Sagamore Danville wins the Sagamore Conference 47-14 over North Montgomery. Lafayette Catholic last night over Guerin Catholic 22-21, they go 8-0. And Kokomo 28, Harrison 29, and making Cats go 4-5 on the year. So, pretty much a sad end of the season. But, you know, Coach Finley, I want to tell you, I know Coach Burpo always told the kids very first practice game two or very first practice of two-a-days that, hey, enjoy every minute because it'll be week 10 before you know it, and you could be playing your last football game as a high school student. And it's hard to believe that you're in, you know, you finished the regular season and now you're looking at the IHSAA tournament next week.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you blink and it's over. You know, it just seems like yesterday we were in team camp and getting ready for the season and, you know, talking about our scrimmage with Madison Grant. And, you know, and here we are, you know, just finished up week 9 and heading into the playoffs. So, you know, it's truly one of those things, like you blink and it's over.
So you go to Tri-West or Tri-Central last night, and you had a good feeling that this could be a nice little win for you on the road, but things didn't turn out very well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we experience is a hard teacher because she gives the test first and the lesson afterwards. You know, so we had a great week of practice. We prepared, you know, we'd had some kids sick, you know, but like, as I said before, like, we're not using that as an excuse, right? Like, everybody's facing the same adversities. You know, kudos to Coach Arnold and his coaching staff. You know, they had their team prepared and ready to play last night. You know, it just seems like every week, from a coaching standpoint, because there are such a diverse gambit of teams, especially in our conference, just trying to put the puzzle pieces together that you think, you know, that you think are going to work, right? Like, we were talking, you know, like, you have Tri-Central who played tough against Taylor, right? So, like, you feel like, okay, well, we kind of had a good game plan against Taylor, you can't have the same plan going in week to week, right? Like, you've got to be able to adjust, and, you know, you're just one misstep away from catastrophic cascade of events. You know, and that's kind of where we've been the last couple of weeks, right? Like, we've just kind of schematically or I've positionally put someone in a wrong position, and then, you know, it leads to a big play, and then, like, then it puts undue pressure on other kids, and then before you know it, like you're down a couple scores and your entire game plan has to change, and you're trying to adjust on the fly.
Well, your program, though, you're still learning to win, and you won 3 ball games this year, which is a good year for you, really, in all reality. When you look at the scale of where you came from and where you're heading, and then you're going to bring back almost all your whole team. They were juniors and sophomores, if I believe, this year, and with mixed in with some good seniors, and so next year could be even a better process. But let's talk about last night's ball game, and the good times and the bad times.
Well, I mean, clearly, you know, that the learning lesson we took at the end was probably the overall most difficult part of the evening. But you know, like we always fight. Like that's, you know, these kids have never asked for a quarter. You know, like they've never come off and said, you know, coach, take me out. Like the kids are always wanting to get in there. You know, we did have some individuals last night, I thought, you know, stepped up. Creed Minnett had a good game. You know, got a pick six, threw a touchdown. Luke Shelley, you know, ran the ball hard. Levi Jacobs, you know, flashes of greatness on the line. We are continuing to move the marker forward. I think sometimes as a coach, like your want kind of goes further than your ability. You know, and we know that, right? Like sometimes, you know, it's like going shopping on an empty stomach, right? Like sometimes you just overpurchase things that maybe aren't really feasible, right? So like, so part of it is like, you know, you always want to make the team you're coaching the best team they can be. You know, and sometimes it's hard for a coach to accept that maybe sometimes like what you've gotten is the best that you can get at that moment. And hope that the cultural change and the lessons learned along the way will be enough to both impact the seniors that are graduating as they move towards, you know, regular life, and then the underclassmen as they continue to develop and build. Which I think we've done a phenomenal job, right? Like, so that's why I brought Coach Primo, our junior high coach here, right? So, like, we've had some success at the lower level starting to build, you know, like our 5th and 6th grade youth team played for the championship in the Cass County League, ended up going 7-2. Our junior high program won 4 games this year after only winning 1 last year. Our JV team, played 6 teams and went 3-3. We played 7 games. We played Sharon's JV twice just to get another game. So when you look at the large spectrum of Bulldog football, like if you look at like the individually, it may not look like much, but when you step back and look at the whole program as a whole, like we are trending in the right direction.
And one thing about that I've noticed, other than shopping on a empty stomach, which I will not apologize. I needed those candy bars.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But Coach Primo, what have you noticed as far as from your position, just the improvement that kids have done this year? What have you seen?
Well, out of 3 years of having to change an offense and defense, it's finally good to have the boys learning something 2 years in a row. Defense has not changed from last season, and we've been able to improve just our skills and where they're at. Like as young boys growing, they're becoming better, stronger, and really, really good at what they're doing. And I'm hoping we can keep building them up so that way when they get up to high school, they'll be on a whole another level, ready to compete on a different playing field than what they know.
And what kind of got you interested in coaching at Clinton Central? And everything, did Coach Finley give you a call? Did you wait outside his house till he got home and say, "Hey, Coach, I want to coach"? How exactly did you become involved with the program? Because to me, I always kind of like those origin stories. It's like a good movie. Yeah. What's your origin story in terms of your coaching at Clinton Central?
Well, for me, it would start my senior year when I blew out my ACL, and I wanted to stay involved in the program somehow as best as I could. And the way I found it, working in the weight room with the younger kids and assisting every single coach I could on the sideline. Like, I got the most boring job ever, calling in plays, but it kept me involved. It let me grow as a person, and here I am now, trying to just move people forward and get them going.
And I think that's one thing that, especially that a lot of people don't understand, that, yeah, the top salary might be well over $100,000, but you're going to have to start down at the bottom with the grunt work and everything like that. I can remember going into an interview and they said, oh, you did an internship. What'd you do? And the first thing I said was, I got the mail and I got them coffee. And they said, we want you. You're hired because you're actually honest about what you had to do. So what was that like, just the calling in the plays and everything like that? Because you know you want to do more, but you know you got to kind of take your lumps where as you go through.
Sometimes it was exhausting seeing trying to get everything out there, but it was good. It actually allowed me to learn from every single coach out there when they were putting information out there for me. I was able to analyze and just see what their minds were thinking and try to put it into action out there as best as you can. It's definitely an experience that you don't get to experience ever.
And that's exciting too. And speaking of exciting, we'll turn it back over. We'll open it to both coaches on this. This week, you've closed out the regular season. You've got Sheridan at home for sectional. Number one, 26-43 on September 13th. That was well over a month ago. How is your team different compared with that game against Sheridan? Because, you know, one thing that we've really talked about is just the growth of your players, both mentally and physically. How do you see that matchup shaking out this week, coaches?
Well, I mean, clearly the biggest difference is, like, we've had an opportunity to go back and watch that film. So, again, what makes these type of games different, you don't have to start at ground zero, right? Like, you kind of can go back, watch the film again. Like, good thing about huddle, like, you can kind of run some reports and kind of see what worked, what didn't work, really get a chance to analyze the film and see some of the things that Sheridan likes to do versus some of the things that we like to do, and just try to find a way to clean that up. So then now, instead of trying to plan for this huge plan, like, you can kind of clean up some of the things that didn't work and make sure that you really emphasize adjusting. And then you always want to add a wrinkle, right? So, like, that's kind of the thing is, like, so we had some success offensively, weren't really able to do some things defensively, but, like, you can rest assured some of that stuff that we were successful with on offense won't work this time, right? Like, Coach Wright will be able, Coach Douglas will do a phenomenal job, right? Like, we'll be able to go in, game plan, we'll watch some film, and be able to make some adjustments. And I think, you know, like, just, you know, win, lose, or draw, right? Like, experience is better than anything, right? So, like, we're a month more experienced. Like, some of these seniors now know that it's do or die time, right? So, like, when you're looking at week 7 or whatever that was, week 6 versus 1 and done, like, some of the unemotional kids all of a sudden become emotional, right? Because now I've been doing this since I was in kindergarten. Like, this is it. Like, I either got to put up or shut up at this point.
So, Coach, when you get ready to get yourself ready for Sheridan this coming week, they're going to come in. They're, 4-5. They've got a losing record after getting beat by Carroll last night. They're going to have a little chip on their shoulder. You have a little chip on your shoulder. Does playing them earlier in the year, is it an advantage or a disadvantage as far as preparation for the kids, being the fact that maybe they've gotten beat, and do they look at the game as more of a revenge factor, or are we still – you know, working through those issues of growing up and understanding that, hey, we got a chance to even up the score here this week?
Well, I'll tell you this, right? So I can't speak for the kids, but this is what I know. A lot of times your team feeds off the leadership, right? So, you know, let me make it clear that, like, I have no intentions of bowing down to Sheridan. So, like, And I think that I can speak for my staff when I say we're not packing it in, Like, I'm not leaving here and going home and planning my vacation for the following week. You know, it, like, you still got to play the game. You know what I mean? So, like, make no mistake about it. Like, we're not hacking it in. And I hope the kids understand that, right? Like, adversity is just another word in the dictionary, but so is victory. You know what I mean? So, like, we can sit around and lick our wounds at the end of the season, right? Like, so... from my standpoint, like, we're all gas, no break.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I know, as in watching your team last year, maybe still growing, but this year, I think your team has put themselves together and kind of understand that, hey, every week is an opportunity to get better. You have presented that as a kind of a theme in itself, and I expect it to be a really good football game next Friday.
Yeah, I mean, we're... Like I said, we're going to prepare just like we do any other week. You know, we don't spend a whole week of practice planning to lose. So, you know, or learn or whatever, you know, analogy that I like to use. But, you know, and I have nothing but the most respect for Coach Wright, Sheridan, right? But, like, this week it's just who it is, right? Like, it could be anybody any week, you know. But, yeah, we're not gonna roll over.
Well, Coach, we wish you the best of luck in this coming week against the Sheridan Hawks, and we hope that we're talking next Saturday on a victorious side.
Yeah, no, I agree with that all wholeheartedly.
Coach Primo, thanks for coming in and talking to us today. All right, you're listening to Inside the Huddle, quarter one over on Boone 102.7, 1570 on the AM dial, and 96.9 on FM. This is WILO Inside the Huddle.
Whoever said size doesn't matter hasn't been to Winski Brothers. Hi, this is Jim Byers from Winski Brothers inviting you to check out our new 70-foot truck scale. That's right, 70 feet. It's practically a landmark, making it easier than ever for you to get in, get out, and be on your way. Why? Because customer service isn't just words. It's 70 feet of promise. Check it out for yourself at 751 West Washington Street in Frankfort, or visit WinskyBrothers.com. Winski Brothers, because size definitely matters.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it, right at your fingertips. We have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and HoosierLandTV.com archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representatives. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
WILO, a friend you can depend on.
Thanks to WILO for being out here. I think it's been great for Party Line, for the fair to be highlighted on Party Line, so people understand, you know, our mission, our goals out here at the fairground.
Keeping you connected to our community.
The radio station, we could not do this without all of you guys.
The radio station you've trusted through the years.
Congratulate you guys on a great senior fair. Thank you for all the hard work that everybody put into that to make that happen.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle. Kyle Etherington along with Don Stock right now at the cough drop meter. I am right at 2.5, so hopefully we're going to do a little bit better in terms of not coughing into the mic. Don, I tell you, it's just the season of the crud, I think, in terms of sickness. So I'm going to make sure that I stay as far away from everybody, because we've got Coach Byers in here for Frankfort. And Don, I'm going to turn it over to you because you've got a little experience when it comes to Frankfort sports.
Yeah, we've part of it for 15 years videotaping when the Dogs had Coach Wright come to town and start changing the attitude of football. So in my years of school, football was something you did before basketball season, but it's no longer that. I truly believe that football season for boys and volleyball season for girls set the tone for athletics for the rest of the season, because football is such a difficult sport, very physical sport, and I think that physicality and that understanding of winning, you move into the following rest of the year, and I think football is a big time player in high school sports. And with that, Coach, thanks for coming in town. And
hey, thanks for having me.
And Lalo, glad to see you here also. Let's talk about last night's ball game. You head to Crawfordsville. Didn't turn out very, very well as the Athenians rack it up for about 54 against you.
Yeah. You know, we're really young defensively. We had to replace a lot. You know, we start a lot of sophomores all across the board on offense and defense. And when you're starting a bunch of young guys against a lot of veteran-laden squads, it can be tough. You know, we knew what they were going to run. We game planned it. Heck, we called it on the sidelines. But we got to make the plays when it matters. We got to make the stops when it matters. And that's a big thing. I mean, our D line is loaded with sophomores and juniors, and getting that push, getting that penetration, is a lot to ask of those young guys.
I know in the past when I was involved in the football, there's a lot of difference from year to year. From freshmen, you usually get a pretty good size of freshmen come out because they know they're going to play just against the freshmen. They're not going to have to play against the seniors. And then when they become sophomores, then they go, well, you know, now I got to play against the seniors. And they get a little nervous about it. You kind of have that sophomore jinx going also, which makes it kind of a difficult format because it's a mental thing versus a physicality game, and you got to try to get them over
absolutely.
That.
Well, and a lot of our struggle nowadays is work, right? Like, you guys get to be seniors, and they're 17, 18 years old. They can get jobs, and, you know, we lost six seniors before the season even started because they're working two jobs now. You know, they leave school at 2:45, and those guys are working at Arby's, and they're working at Walmart, and they're working at all these other places because they got to help out the family. And that makes things challenging. Like having those guys on the roster would be a big help because all six of them were contributors. But the guys that we got are working their tails off. They're doing a tremendous job. Our young O-line is getting better every week. I mean, Lalo accounted for 321 yards last night with 129 rush yards. Like that's impressive. And so, you know, a lot of that is owed to those guys up front, getting on those blocks and creating a lane, and then Lalo making plays. And so it's been we've had to have a lot of guys step up in areas where maybe they weren't quite ready to step up. But it's been exciting to see the way that they've grown over the course of the year.
Well, here's another question that I want to ask, and that is, Frankfort's a 4A in the 4A class of football, which means that you're playing against schools that are when you get into the tournament, a lot bigger.
The top of 4A is 1,400 kids.
Yeah.
So that's 500-kid difference. It's almost a whole school for us.
And your numbers are probably okay, but they're not 4A okay, right? Would you say that?
Yeah, they're... I mean, typically, we're a little low this year. Typically, we run right around 50. But even then, when you're talking about 4A ball, when you're talking about a school that has 1,200 to 1,400 kids, like 50 kids is not a ton. 50 kids is pretty good for 1-2, even some 3A rosters. But numbers is a challenge, and having those numbers at practice is important because when you have those numbers, then you can have a little bit longer developmental period. You're not rushing guys onto the field too soon to fill a role when they're maybe not quite ready to fill that role at 100%.
And that was one thing that we talked about, you know, in the past couple of weeks. Typically, you always ask, how have your young kids improved? And, you know, the very first thing you said was like, well, we've thrown them out into the wolves. You know, we've had them play a lot of varsity ball the entire season.
Yeah, I mean, Lalo never takes a snap off the field, but neither does Benny Chuka, right? Mm-hmm. And Benny's a sophomore, and that dude is on the field every offensive snap, every defensive snap. He's our third string kicker. We're on our third string kicker now. So he's handling all that. He played front line on kickoff return. Our first and second string punter are out. So, Lalo's punting for us, so Benny stays in to block on punt, right? Like, so you're asking a sophomore to play every snap of the game in a varsity football game.
It's like the old history saying, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play, right?
yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm gonna kind of fanboy out a little bit because Mr. Castillo, I have greatly enjoyed watching you play, and I'm very excited that you're in studio with us because we always like to hear from the students and highlight what they're doing and everything. Question number one, as a senior, how have you served as a leader to the younger kids? Because not to brag too much on Coach, but he's kind of been doing some bragging on you this season. So how have you been able to stay positive and be a good influence, like what Coach has been saying all season?
It's just, I look at these little guys like as my brothers, you know. I mean, they pretty much are my brothers. I grew up with them, a lot of them, you know. I love them all to death. And I take practice one day at a time, you know, Monday through Thursday, and just coaching them up every single day, you know. I wanted them to get better. I know after me, it's the next guy up, my legacy, their legacy. I want them to be good. I want the program to be good, you know. I'm going to miss it. I really am. It's been an honor, but, I mean, my senior year, I'm just trying to ball out. I'm trying to help these young guys, you know. Had a great 4 years. Had an amazing, amazing 4 years. I'm really going to miss it. I really want someone in the team to get better, practice, you know. Yeah.
And one thing in particular, talking about legacy, because I love how you use that word, you're thinking about possibly playing in college in the future. Is that correct?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Do we have a final decision yet?
No, not yet.
Not yet?
Yeah.
Would you like to take this opportunity to create some breaking news on Inside the Huddle and give us your decision? Or, no, I'm just joking. What kind of describe that process, because we got a lot of young players who are wanting to play something in the future in college, whether it's NAIA, D3, or all the way up to D1. What's that process been like, at least from your experience, in terms of trying to figure out where to go and what exactly to focus on? Because it can seem like a very overwhelming decision, I would think.
Yeah, I had a lot of coaches after the game from the other teams talk to me, like, you should go play college ball. I had a lot of people tell me. I mean, the options are still open, you know. I went to some schools I really liked, you know, but like I said, the options are still open. I just want the best one, the one that suits me, you know. Like, but either way, any school I'm going to be very grateful for, and I'm going to ball out there. So either way, I'm going to love it, you know. I love football. It's just what I do. Just amazing sport. And just anywhere I go, I'm just going to be ready to go, you know.
And as your coach said, you basically play all positions and everything like that. What's your favorite one been so far? Is it punter? Is it wide receiver? Is it running back? Or is it just taking a 5-minute break? Because when you were talking about everything that you do, I was getting tired. Yeah. So what's your favorite part of football, like from a position standpoint?
From coming up from freshman year to senior year, I used to love hitting people. I just love hitting them, you know. It was just my thing. But then once I started playing offense and I started rushing yards, scoring touchdowns, I loved it even more. You know, just celebrating in the end zone, you know, it's just amazing, you know. Like putting up points for my team, you know, and making everybody like happy, making everybody smile, seeing the fans go crazy. It's amazing.
Well, it's been a true pleasure to watch you play this season for me. This being my first one on the microphone and everything. So thank you for a lot of wonderful memories as well. And I'm sure your teammates thank you for that too.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me too.
Mm-hmm.
Lalo, I just want to say, hey, I know I didn't get to watch you a lot this year. I've watched you in your first 3 years of playing football. I've enjoyed every minute of that. When you make your choice for how you want to further your education, where you want to be versus playing football. Football's a good thing because it's going to get you potentially a really good education for little to no money, which is always a good thing for both you and the family. And, you know, my question for you is that since a lot of the pressure has been more on you, by talking to you, you wouldn't know that at all. You act like you've been a veteran football player for all your whole entire life. When did you start playing football?
I started playing football probably fifth and fourth grade. When Frankfort didn't have a program, I went to Prairie because Prairie had their program, and I played down there. I played actually with my cousin. She's a girl. She was a hard hitter, I'll tell you that. But, yeah, I played down there and then just kept playing after that, played through middle school, high school. And I want to say I started my varsity year, freshman year. It was, yeah, Bishop Chatard, sectional drawing. It was, oh, that was a rough game, you know.
Welcome to the NFL, young man.
I can tell you a story about Bishop Chatard. I can actually tell you about a team up in Fort Wayne that Frankfort played in the regional. Fort Wayne, Bishop Lure, not Bishop Lures, it was Norwell. And when they came down, they had three buses of athletes and two priests. And when they came by while we were on the field, they were making fun of us. And when I looked up, I normally would respond to that because I don't put up with people making fun of us. I usually will stand very firm for the hot dogs. But when I saw the size of them, I thought, yeah, they can say what they want to say.
Now, see, Don, the first time I ever saw someone like Zach Randolph show up at Marion High School, I didn't stand up at all. I think I hid because just tall, gigantic athletes, yeah, and everything.
We had to play at Marion last year. It was wild.
Oh, Craig Chambers, man.
Yeah. Well, and like
One of the things Lalo hit on was
that legacy and talking about him coming up through the program, and it's been wild to see him grow up and really his group kind of grow up from little kids, right? Because this is my seventh year, and Lalo referenced his cousin playing football. Rachel was actually the better of the two of them in middle school, man. She was tough.
I think we have Rachel on the line. No, yeah, I'm joking.
She can verify. She plays soccer now, and she's a heck of a soccer player. But you know, all of Lalo's cousins and Lalo's close with a Brenton Wood who's now on staff. He's close with Noah Debris who's now on staff, and like, so the familial kind of feel that this group has, right, with the guys that are on staff who've come back that played for, you know, this is Lance Pickerel and I's eighth year together. So those guys that we've coached that we're now, they were former players, now they're our assistant coaches. And then those guys that were little kids running around chasing a ball in the side yard, and now they're, you know, you're starting tailback and you're starting free safety and you're starting kick returner and you're starting punter. You know, it's been a wild time to see that kind of growth. Lalo and I were looking at pictures the other day because my son is probably the world's number one Lalo Castillo fan. And there's pictures of Lalo from when he was a freshman, and Wes would have been two, maybe three, right? Yeah, so he'd have been two because he's six now, and now Lalo's a senior, and Wes hits him like, you know, halfway up his chest. They didn't get their height from me, but thankfully my wife's side of the family's tall because my 11-year-old's already as tall as I am. But kind of just to see that growth. You know, and like Lalo's timeless. Like he looked like this as a freshman, still looks like it as a senior. He's gonna look like this when he's 45, man. I look like I'm 80 at this point.
But, I was gonna go for 35, man.
Hey, yeah. You're right on 36.
36? Yeah. Ah, hey, there yeah. we go.
But having those tight bonds within this team makes it such a special group. And we talked about it even at the start of the season when I started the youth program here at Frankfort. Frank Vega used to coach varsity football and he moved down to go coach in that youth program to coach his son. And his son is a freshman on the football team now, right? Like, so I remember when Francisco Vega was in third grade, running around playing flag football on the Steelers team. And now those guys are up at the high school level. They're at Crawfordsville right now. They're getting ready to kick off at 10 o'clock, right? I'm heading straight down from here down to Crawfordsville to watch the JV play. And those guys that we watched grow up in that flag league are now up here. And like Lalo said, I mean, I remember going to all of his middle school games and his sixth grade games. And Dakota Fisher was the quarterback. And very first play of your guys', I think it was your seventh grade year, he calls quarterback sneak and just takes a snap and goes. And you know, Lala was out there playing slot receiver and strong safety. And, like, it's been amazing to watch these guys grow up into tremendous young men.
Well, Coach, good luck next week. You're heading all the way up north to Huntington North.
That's a haul, yeah, man.
I got to tell you. That
two-hour drive on a bus. Them boys better use the bathroom before we get on.
All I know is it seems like every time you get a draw, you're either heading way up north to Huntington or over to Marion, and that's quite the haul.
Well, we got a private school coming into town, right? We've had Rock Colley and Chittard and Kokomo, and then we have to go to Marion and to Huntington North.
Well, good luck next week. Hope you can do well up in Huntington North and maybe take on Marion again at your place.
Yeah, we'll make him drive over here. That'd be nice.
Exactly. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, quarter two over. We're ready for quarter three as the Carroll Cougars, Coach Blake Bitzner, will be calling in soon. You're listening on 102.7 Boone County, 1570 AM and 96.9 on the FM dial. This is Inside the Huddle, WILO.